live, on location. It's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide with the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, live on location, as Terry Barr said, here at beautiful Governor Nelson State Park on the north shore of Lake Mendota in beautiful Dane County. Happy Earth Day 2024. Glad to have you all along with us and joining us back at the home station, live atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. Our producer engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Happy Earth Day, Mr. Zommers. How the heck are you?
Doing well. Happy Earth Day to you as well, Todd. Looks like it's a little windy out there.
It's a tad windy, but all in all, for spring in late April, absolutely gorgeous. Temperatures in the upper 50s, almost 60. They're saying a high of 64. Wind's a bit gusty, but looking about 50 yards from me, and I would say there are about 75 volunteers doing some cleanup here at Governor Nelson State Park and planting trees. I know Governor Evers was here earlier today, so we are in celebration. So Mr. Zommers, a little bit later, we're going to have Matt Flynn, our colleague, joins us on Mondays. He has a remembrance of campaigning with former U.S. Senator and Governor Nelson. So looking forward to Matt's remembrances of Governor Nelson. And we might have one of our two state archaeologists, Zach Stenzel, is here in the park leading this cleanup effort today. So we might hear from him as well. Right now, though, we are pleased and honored to be joined by our featured guest today on this Earth Day, none other than Tia Nelson. She is the daughter of the late great governor and U.S. Senator from the state of Wisconsin, of which this beautiful park is named after, and joining us live from the Seattle area via StreamYard, Tia Nelson. Tia, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day to you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm grateful for your efforts to help tell the Earth Day story.
Well, thank you so much. We've known each other. I worked for a former state senator, Majority Leader Dale Schultz, for a time, and I know you were very involved in the state, land trust area and preserving the environment and your own conservation efforts. But before we get into that, take us back, because all of us can read on Wikipedia or Google, and we all know, or at least I think most of our listening audience would know, that your dad was the one that started Earth Day. Of course, there were several others, as there always are, and it was in fact a bipartisan effort. But for you, as a daughter of the founder of Earth Day, what are your personal remembrances of this day, and what does it mean to you personally?
Well, I was in junior high school on the first Earth Day. I had no notion whatsoever of how momentous that day was. 20 million people gathered that first Earth Day, April 22nd. 1970, largest public event in U.S. history. But I had no awareness of that. And I was in junior high, and I did what many school kids did then and today. I was out on the school grounds and down at Rock Creek Park in Maryland, where we lived at the time, cleaning up trash.
Right. Was it something you remember your dad talking about at home? Was this a kind of a passion project, or was it more one of those things where that was just part of his job, and at home it was more personal?
Well, my father, he grew up in a small town in northern Wisconsin, Clear Lake in Polk County, and nature was his playground. And that imbued in him a love and passion for nature and the environment from a very early age, and it stayed with him throughout his life. And there was really no distinguishing between his personal passion for the environment and his professional commitment to advance sound public policy around those environmental issues: clean air, clean water, land conservation. He took that ethos, those values from childhood. And when he was elected governor, he put a penny a pack tax on cigarettes for a dedicated fund to acquire parks, recreation lands, places to hunt and fish in Wisconsin. And he did so much for the environment that they called him, he earned the moniker, the Conservation Governor, which he was very proud of. Though I hasten to add, my good friend, former Governor Tommy Thompson, likes to tease me that he brags that he protected more acreage than my father did. I'm really happy to hear a Republican brag about such a thing these days, you know?
Well, and I want to get to that in a moment, that the fact that you and I talked just briefly a couple of days ago before this, the fact that, you know, the history of Earth Day and conservation in Wisconsin has not been partisan. It has been bipartisan in the past. I want to play a cut that you sent us. I want to credit Susan Bentz from Milwaukee Public Radio. We're going to play this. It's about a minute long of your father and his reflections from a speech at the very first Earth Day. Here is, and we're going to get your reaction to it. Here is former U.S. Senator and Governor Gaylord Nelson and a speech at the very first Earth Day.
How do we accomplish what we want? In a representative democracy, you've got all the tools. You have them all. They don't work unless you use them. What we must establish all across this country is nonpartisan political action, environmental organizations in every community, in America, and every state and nationwide. And all the environmental problems of the community should be inventoried. And every member, every candidate for the city council, the county board, the legislature, the Congress, the president must be asked where he stands and what's his commitment to the environmental issue. And
T. Nelson, your father, former Governor, U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, when you hear his words, beyond a personal reflection, his bipartisan approach, his inclusive approach, what does it say to you?
Well, it's really interesting to reflect on that today. The environment, the first Earth Day, in September of 1970, after the first Earth Day, amendments to the Clean Air Act passed without a single no vote in the United States Senate.
Wow.
Richard Nixon created the Environmental Protection Agency to guarantee every American's right to drink clean water and breathe clean air. It was a multi-generational and bipartisan call to arms, and it was wildly successful. It was successful beyond my father's wildest dreams. And as I used to work for the Nature Conservancy, a great conservation organization. I worked on several issues, including being the first director of their global climate change initiative. I was in Rio de Janeiro at the Earth Summit in 1992 when George Herbert Walker Bush stood before the leaders of the world, nearly 200 countries at the time, signed the Framework Convention on Climate Change and said, we shall lead the world in addressing this challenge of climate change. So it's obviously a source of great disappointment and concern and despair for me that these issues have become partisan in the way they have, which is why that clip played from my father, there was one more line after it, which I have in front of me, and which I think is important. He said, you elect to office those who stand with you, and you throw out of office those who don't. It's as simple as that. You have the power if you use it. So being an environmental voter is a really powerful thing to do. It's more important than ever. And politicians have to be responsive to the citizenry, but we have to show up and vote, and we have to prioritize the environment as an issue. And so we've got a lot of challenges ahead of us, but I never forget the power of individual action. My father's own story is so inspiring to me, or I think of someone like Rosa Parks, who couldn't possibly have known that the simple act of saying no when told to go to the back of the bus would change the trajectory of the civil rights movement, for example, or Greta Thunberg, who sat in silent protest on the issue of climate change in front of the Swedish parliament. And through that inspiring but simple and quiet act, it launched a global climate youth movement that today is having a big impact. And if you you want a sense of hope, look at the polling on the issue of climate change among youth. Irrespective of political inclinations, political affiliations, political party, youth care about the issue of climate change, Democrats and Republicans. When those kids organize and vote, they're going to make a difference and are a critical part of prioritizing the environment today and for the future.
Tia Nelson, just a couple minutes left here. I appreciate your time so much. Quickly, what are you up to today? What projects are you working on? And beyond voting, which of course is probably the most important thing we could do, what's just one or two things we could all do on this Earth Day to do our part?
Talk about the issues you care about for the environment. Vote. Join an organization that works in a manner that is meaningful to you. I'm working as an ambassador for Wisconsin's Green Fire, extraordinary organization whose mission is to advance science-based analysis and policy to address Wisconsin's environmental challenges. They're an awesome group. There's so many Wisconsin-based environmental groups, from Gathering Waters to the Nature Conservancy, the Audubon to Clean Wisconsin to Wisconsin's Green Fire. There's something for everybody. I also serve on a board for a group called Eco America, which works with faith communities and health communities to empower those messengers to share their concerns and perspectives on what it means to be good stewards of our fragile earth. And so, you know, get involved, talk about it, vote, join an organization.
Tia Nelson, thank you so much. We did a tour of Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago, in 5 cities in 5 days. And you know, beyond the Packers and cheese curds and Wisconsin beer, it seems our natural resources, our parks, our environment are something we can all agree on as Wisconsinites that helps make Wisconsin great. A large part of that is to your late father and to you as well. Thank you for taking the time. Happy Earth Day and keep fighting the fight.
Happy Earth Day. I'm grateful.
Tia Nelson, ladies and gentlemen, back with our friend Matt Flynn and his reflection of the late great governor and senator after this in the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't go near the water, children. See the fish all dead upon the shore. Don't go near the water, cause the water isn't water anymore.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location on this Earth Day 2024 here at Governor Nelson State Park on the north shore of Lake Mendota in Dane County. My absolute eternal thanks to Tia Nelson, daughter of U.S. Senator and Governor Gaylord Nelson here in Wisconsin, for the generosity of her time and her insight. Just one of those people that I think if you heard that interview, you could sit there and listen to her all day and just be enthralled. She's knowledgeable, she's passionate, and just one of the coolest people I've ever had the pleasure to meet. Certainly, she is one of those folks that makes Wisconsin great. Joining us on the phone line right now, our friend Matt Flynn. A little Monday with Matt time here at 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Monday, April 22nd on Earth Day. Matt Flynn, thank you so much for joining us and taking the time by phone from Milwaukee today. I'm not sure if you heard our interview with Tia there, but just absolutely outstanding person. And I know that you had the opportunity to know the former governor and U.S. senator and campaign with them. Happy Earth Day to you, Matt Flynn.
Yeah, happy Earth Day. Good to be back on your show, Tom.
Always a pleasure. As you think back, do you remember the first time how you got to know the former governor and U.S. senator, and how did that friendship develop?
Right. Well, I was the chairman of the Democratic Party, but before that, in the late 70s, you know, he ran for re-election in 1980 in a terrible year for Democrats, and it was when Bob Caston upset him. But prior to that, in 78, 79, I would campaign with him, especially throughout the old 9th Congressional District, which is now the 5th Congressional District, you know, Waukesha County. And sure. he was a friend. He was a wonderful guy, and he was idiosyncratic. And frankly, when he and Bill Proxmire were our senators, that was the strongest pair of senators I think we've had, and certainly in my memory.
Yeah. No, he's just, again, and we played that speech from former Governor and U.S. Senator Nelson on the first Earth Day, and really calling right. upon in a bipartisan way, you know, telling people, look, you know, elect people who are going to do what you, the people of Wisconsin and the United States want. And I don't think, Matt, I mean, you know, you've been around a couple of years longer than I, but, you know, traditionally, I don't know that conservation has been a particularly partisan issue. I mean, I think that guys and gals like to hunt and fish equally, no matter who they vote for the voting booth. We all want a good environment, a good Wisconsin to do these outdoor activities, whether it's hunting, kayaking, or sailing.
Right. No, you hit the nail on the head. And there's two that remember is Richard Nixon, of all people, who formed the EPA. I mean, it was Nixon.
Right.
But most people don't remember or know. So Gaylord Nelson, in 1949, was a Republican legislator. And there was a big meeting convention in Green Bay where the progressive Republicans, the La Follette Republicans, which he was one of, and the Democrats met and joined into the Democratic Party. So Bill Proxmire and Pat Lucey were on the Democratic side, and Gaylord Nelson and the old Tom Fairchild were on the other side. And they came together to form one of the great political events in Wisconsin history. And then he became governor in 58. He went on to be senator for several terms. And remember about him. This guy's his own drummer, believe me. I really like one time we were campaigning in the House in Waukesha, about 30 people. And I was the warm-up act. He was the main act. So I was going to say something. Sure. So the hostess comes up to me and says, "Where is he?" And he looked around. He wasn't there. He'd been... It turns out we were roaming through the house. He was up on the second floor watching the Packer game. So, I mean, this guy was stone cold in a good way. So right. if he wanted to do environment, you know, he had Republican roots for Pete's sake. And no, he was a pleasure to know and a friend of mine. And along with Bill Proxmire, that was quite a team.
Yeah, I mean, really, when you look back at the greats like that, I was struck in listening to Tia Nelson in the last segment, you know, say that, you know, even though she comes from a progressive Democratic household, and you point out that Gaylord Nelson had some, Republican, different era of Republican era roots. But, I was struck that she, over the years, developed a very good friendship with former Republican governor Tommy Thompson, who, you know, kind of chided her that he helped protect more actual acres of Wisconsin than her dad. And she said, you know what, I was fine with that because it got the job done. And I think that's important to remember in today's political environment. You used to have a Republican guy like Tommy Thompson who'd brag about setting aside and preserving land.
Right. Well, you know, here's the funny deal. The word progressive, when you apply it to the La Follette Republicans like Gaylord Nelson, had little to do with the current use of the term, which is more identity politics oriented. Tommy Thompson... back in the era of Gaylord Nelson, would have been a progressive Republican. In other words, he would have merged into the Democratic Party. He, Labor liked him, the environmentalists liked him, and so on. And really, there are these twin strains going on in this state right now. It's not, you know, there are a few MAGA Republicans, but not a ton of them. I mean, this is Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And Gaylord Nelson, was the epitome of bipartisanship on the environmental issue because he was a Republican. And then he became a Democrat. And he worked with Democrats, but his instincts were very much pro-environment, as you know, Earth Day. And Tommy Thompson's right. were too, and there are people like that. Scott Walker was entirely different. Entirely different.
that was a different deal. about a couple of minutes here left, Matt. I want to kind of fast forward and put this context of Gaylord Nelson politics into today. Now, don't misjudge or don't mishear me. I'm not saying that Speaker Mike Johnson is a modern day Gaylord Nelson, but let's take a moment. Let's take a moment over the weekend where Mike Johnson put the Ukraine aid up for a vote. And by golly, something got done. Help us understand the statesmanship of Joe Biden's experience behind the scene and Mike Johnson having a moment. And that's how things get done, not unlike how Gaylor Nelson got things done for Earth Day.
Right, because it's such a slim majority. When I first heard of or saw Mike Johnson, I thought, oh, my God, this guy is out of his mind. But he learned, and you know what he did? He had access to truly deep classified briefings, realizing what the Ruskies were up to and what they could do. And he stood tall. Now, look, I still don't support the guy, but one concern I have, I'll throw this right out, what if Donald Trump picks him as his VP nominee? You know, I mean, there's, and I'm not kidding, this is not a good thing. And so, yeah, I don't like him on a ton of other issues, but if he is willing to do what he did on Ukraine, is he willing to not try to block the certification of the vote this time around if Biden wins? You know, if he comes out as more of a Brian Hagedorn type of Republican, that could be a very good thing for the country.
I'm just struck to bring it back quickly to Gaylor Nelson, the beauty out here, Matt, and of Gaylor Nelson State Park. Your final 45-second thoughts on Governor Nelson and Earth Day.
He was a great man. He's known for it. He's known for Earth Day. 1970, it built on the Silent Spring by Rachel Carson, and it basically set the groundwork for the EPA ultimately and for, frankly, environmentalism in this country. He's going to go down in history.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, always appreciate you taking the time. I know you have a busy day. Thanks for calling in today and joining us with your remembrances on Governor and U.S. Senator Nelson, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Yeah, good talking to you, Todd. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. Our friend Matt Flynn here on Earth Day. As Tia Nelson said to us off the air, she said, make sure you get somebody to say Earth Day is every day. We'll keep saying that today. Live from Governor Nelson State Park, back with your calls and thoughts on Earth Day and remembrances thereof. 855-752-4842. Give us a call. It's Earth Day on the Civic Media Radio Network, the Todd Allball Show, right here. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live here at Governor Nelson State Park on the north shores of Lake Mendota. You might be able to see the Capitol building kind of over my head there on the other side of Lake Mendota. A beautiful day. Highs in the upper 50s, low 60s here in south central Wisconsin. Again, we thank Tia Nelson, daughter of former governor and U.S. Senator Gaylor Nelson, for being with us the last segment, along with Matt Flynn, who knew the late governor and campaigned with him on occasion and did some politicking with him. So we appreciate their remembrances. We are joined live here on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media by the park manager of Governor Nelson State Park, Mike Ring, and also Zach Stenzel. He is one of the state archaeologists for the DNR. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us on this absolutely beautiful day.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey, well, I know it's kind of short notice. You guys were doing a project. And Mike, tell us a little bit about, I know that our current governor, Tony Evers, was here. Tell us a little bit about what activities are happening at Governor Nelson State Park today.
So, yeah, thanks. We planted over 2,200 trees here in the park. They are wet site and dry site, and we had some seedlings, we had some park stock, we had some bigger, smaller trees. And then we also planted about 3 or 4 more acres of prairie up on the north side of the park.
Nice.
Yeah, everybody worked really hard. Everybody got a lot of stuff done. There's still more trees to plant, more work to be done, but our volunteers, our wildlife, our forestry, everybody really worked together to get the job done today.
And Mike, how long have you been part of Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources? And how long have you been the park manager here at Governor Nelson State Park?
I started with state parks right out of high school. I was an architecture major, and I just wanted to do something for the summer. So I started at Perot State Park back in 1997, and I just loved it. I thought it was awesome, and I would just love to be a park manager for the rest of my life.
Wow.
That's
really cool from architecture.
Yeah.
You've been kind of an outdoors person. Did you like that? Is that just?
Yeah. Kind of yeah. You know, I was raised outside and I was raised outdoors with my parents, and we went camping all the time at a lot of Wisconsin state parks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got a job there as a whim. And that first semester of architecture school, I was thinking, boy, this isn't right for me. I should transfer. So I transferred to Stevens Point, got a degree in environmental education, and then I've been off and on with the department for the past 25 years. Wow. And I've been the park manager here at Governor Nelson and Cross Plains State Park for about 5 years now.
Well, congrats. We did the show up at UW-Stevens Point about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, great.
And talked a little bit about the programs up there. Talk about your time at UW-Stevens Point and how that experience directed you what you do today.
Oh, I can't say enough good things about UW-Stevens Point. They are, their environmental education program, especially, I think, is just fantastic. I think their resource management program is one of the finest in the nation. I thought it was a great school, not just for me, but for everybody who went there. It's not only just teaching you about how to do your role as an environmental educator, but also how to manage natural resources in the state of Wisconsin and elsewhere. And so I thought it really prepared me well for a career in this field.
And we did the show from up there at former governor, the Dreyfus Center at, from Lee Sherman Dreyfus Center there at Stevens Point campus, a former Republican and Governor Nelson, a former Democrat. As our friend Mike Matt Flynn pointed out, he actually started as a Republican, a different kind of Republican. But I think conservation and the outdoors are one of those things that, people don't come into the park and say, well, are you wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They just want to, enjoy the park and enjoy the nature and the lake and the woods.
Yeah, parks are for everyone. I think it's something that we can all get behind, and that everybody has a favorite state park. Everybody has had good experiences at state parks, be it from coast to coast, from river to the lake. Everybody really enjoys the state parks for the most part. And it's been a great part of my career and a great part of my life to help people enjoy them even more.
Zach Stenzel, we appreciate you being here as well. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and kind of how you got into state archaeology with the Department of Natural Resources.
Sure. Well, I grew up pretty close to here, Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. Went to school undergrad at Madison studying anthropology. Was really interested in classics and European archaeology and wanted to put some of those skills to work right here at home in the Great Lakes. Been shovel bumming for about 20 years. That's what we call it in the biz.
I like that.
Got a more permanent gig at UW-Milwaukee when I went back to grad school there. So I've been doing archaeology there for about 10 years and with the DNR now for 1 year.
So describe to a goofball like me, when I think of archaeology, I think of, folks digging up dinosaur bones. Or maybe here in Wisconsin, I think, okay, well, there's a lot of, Native American history, a lot of Native American tribes. I mean, is that type of archaeology or what goes into it? Describe to a layman like me, what does an archaeologist do in a state park?
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but there's no dinosaurs. We get that a lot. Right. That's paleontology. But
All right, Barry, see, that's how stupid Todd is.
So, archaeology is the study of prehistory as far as humans are concerned, so as a subsect of anthropology. And archaeology is more of the actual digging in the dirt and getting to know your landscapes, finding sites that were important and lost to time, being able to use shovel and screen to make that happen.
So, I'm assuming that, or you correct me if I'm wrong, do you come across Native American ruins and that sort of thing, work with the tribes of Wisconsin to kind of to restore, give back those things you find, or what kind of relationship do you have with the tribes of Wisconsin?
Sure. Well, at UW-Milwaukee, I didn't have much of a relationship with tribal repatriation. That's kind of reserved for academic relationships. It was more of, site presence, site absence, making sure projects don't disturb potentially sensitive cultural resources that are buried in the ground. At DNR, though, it's a different thing. You're working with our counterparts in the tribal nations, the TIPOs, the Tribal Historic Preservation Officers, and just trying to make sure everyone's on the same page as far as getting projects done and making sure your compliance is kind of checked and buttoned up. Finding sensitive cultural materials. Unfortunately, sometimes you find cemeteries that have been lost to time, so making sure you mitigate those sort of situations appropriately and with the right respect is a big part of what we do at DNR. So,
what's kind of the coolest or most unexpected thing you've ever found?
Sure. Well,
a unique thing you've ever found.
I really dig on faunal remains. So I'm a big bone animals.
Okay.
Did a lot of study for human osteology and then skeletal analysis. So doing diet studies It's always been sort of at the back of my mind to hopefully find some evidence of megafaunal remains. So the mastodons, the mammoths, those sites are pretty rare, and I haven't yet found one, but hopefully they're still out there.
Now, see, I grew up in Richland Center, and of course we have Boaz, where the former mastodon,
right.
So that's, I do get that.
There you go. I actually did a survey along that creek up there.
Did you really?
For a different project, but in the back of my mind, I was like, there could be other things up here. So
beautiful, beautiful part of the state, of course.
Yeah.
Mike, talk to us a little bit about folks that want to come out and get the state park. I was here kind of scouting out a couple of weeks ago, and I drove up to your automated thing, and I got my what was it, $28.38 for the season. I got a cashing in for my actual sticker, but I have my receipt. If people want to enjoy the parks, tell folks how they can come out, not just enjoy this one, but all the state parks that Wisconsin has.
Wisconsin state parks charge admission to every Wisconsin state park. It's not a lot. If you have Wisconsin plates on your vehicle, it's $8 for a day, or $28 for an annual sticker, which will get you into the state park until the end of the year. It is, camping is extra, other permits are extra, of course, but they get you into every Wisconsin state park if you have the annual sticker. There are a number of ways to get that sticker. You can find somebody in the office live and in person at a DNR service center or at a state park office. State park offices this time of year are typically not staffed unless it's the weekend or unless it's a really larger park like Interstate or Devil's Lake or Peninsula. And you can also go to a state park. You can use the electronic kiosks where we have, and you can use a credit card at those areas. You can use the cash drop boxes where you can give us cash and we will send you your sticker in the mail. And you can also go online and get your sticker online as well. And then we will send that to you in the mail as well as soon as we get payment online. So there's a number of ways to get to pay for using your Wisconsin state parks. It's not a big fee. Your tax dollars don't go directly to state parks. It's all funded through those admission stickers.
Yeah.
So it's really important that you do pay when you come into a state park.
I use the kiosk, and even a goofball like me can understand.
Yeah, it's really easy.
It wasn't too difficult at all. Off the top of your head, you know how many people come through this particular state park every year?
Yeah, so last year we had 355,000 people who were estimated to come through the park. The most state parks now are going up and up and up since about 2018, 2019. And we've had some record years in there as well. People are getting outside more. Our campgrounds are busier, our shelters are more reserved, and it's really nice that people are using and utilizing their state parks a lot more now.
Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Mark in Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, thanks for calling here. You have a question regarding the DNR you wanted to chat a little bit about?
I used to work at the DNR. That was my career. And I have my park sticker in my console. I just got to trade my receipt for my patron's license and for my park sticker when I get to a park.
God.
My question was, is this for the archaeologically, that considering Wisconsin was, it's been pretty dynamic in terms of its cultural heritage dating back, thousands of years. I was wondering if the old growth forest that the Europeans experienced when they got to Wisconsin, that was, I'm thinking of the later European thing, not the early French ones, was actually the old growth forest, actually new old growth forest, concerning the fact that the Indians probably used, fire as a way of maintaining the more open forest thing with fire, even all the way up to Lake Superior. I mean, that there's probably pockets there that, were really truly ancient trees. But, and considering the fact that, that some of the tribes had come relocated back to Wisconsin after periods of absence. I just was reading Patty Lowe's book on the Wisconsin tribes of people coming back to the area where the food grew in the water, referring to wild rice. So they had been here and had left for the East Coast and came back, after, that, because, the natives were a dynamic culture as well as, moving back and forth, and they weren't just static in one place for forever.
Mark, we got a couple of minutes. I want Zach to have time to address that. Go ahead.
Sure. So, Mark, you're asking me, did the natives before the Europeans get here have their own way to manage forests? And I do believe so. That's not something easily discernible in the archaeological record as far as what I'm digging when I'm out there with my shovel and my screen. So what I do know is that not all archaeology is Native Americans. So we also have, you're talking about early foresters. Well, some of the main sites that we find up north are these old logging camps. And what's really unique is finding sort of their seasonal camps and their tool scatters up there. And, you know, the evidence for big log industry is still ever present up in the Northwoods there.
Yeah. Great. Well, I appreciate it, guys. It's about a minute and a half left here. Any advice for people going out and enjoying our state parks this season? Do's or don'ts or things that you would just say to have a good time at?
I a lot of the things that we typically run into are dogs in the wrong spots, yeah, or dogs that are off leash. A lot of things, problems getting state park stickers, mm-hmm, or things of that nature. So know the park before you go. Usually at the entrance to every state park, there are pamphlets and there are maps and there's everything else that we have at state parks to let you know what the rules are and what the regulations are as well. Yeah. So know before you go. You can always find a staff member, and staff members are always more than happy to talk about their parks and to really inform the staff and inform visitors exactly what you can and can't do.
Well, Mike Ring, park manager, and Zach Stenzel, state archaeologist, thank you for taking the time on the fly here to join us. A wealth of knowledge. Thanks for all you're doing today on Earth Day and all you do for all of us. I think folks like you are some of the unsung heroes of Wisconsin, because we went around the state, did 5 days or 5 cities in 5 days a couple weeks ago. And one of the things that makes Wisconsin great are our conservation resources. And everybody in Wisconsin loves them. It takes people to make it like this. So thanks for all both of you do. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You bet. If you guys are interested in archaeology out there, check out the Wisconsin Archaeological Society and the Wisconsin Archaeological Survey are two excellent groups that you can get more information on and maybe join up as a member.
There you go. Mike Ring, park manager, Zach Stenzel, state archaeologist of the DNR. Thank you so much. Stay tuned. More from Governor Nelson State Park, live on location on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location on this Earth Day at Governor Nelson State Park here in Governor Nelson State Park in the north shore of Lake Mendota here in Madison, Wisconsin. Many thanks to Mike Ring, the park manager here, and also Zach Stenzel, the state archaeologist, the Department of Natural Resources. How about that, Mr. Somers? You just, you never know who you're going to meet at a state park, and they couldn't have been nicer, and we appreciate it take the time out of their busy day here to join us.
We love that Wisconsin nice.
Right? Exactly. That's one of the things, as we say, that makes Wisconsin great. If you'd like to join us, give your reflections and thoughts on Earth Day, give us a call here. We'd love to put you on the air and talk a little bit with you on this Earth Day. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android device in your app store. The Civic Media app, it is free and takes less than a minute, is what Gail King, of course, calls a deal.
And we...
I'm sorry, Mr. Somers. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got a comment on Facebook regarding when we had Tia Nelson on earlier and the comments we shared from Governor Nelson from his first speech on Earth Day. And Linda on Facebook says, thank you for this program. I would challenge all grandparents to challenge every candidate on their position on climate change and on their environmental stance. Vote out those who do not promote the environment. Thank you, Linda.
There you go. Thank you very much, Linda. Appreciate it. You can also send us your comments on Facebook, on YouTube, and Twix. Twitter and X combined there, a little Twix for you. So we'll always appreciate the comments and watching or listening across the state of Wisconsin, either over the air or on the Civic Media app or streaming us as well. It's a beautiful day out here, by the way. It's getting a little bit windier, but still the sun is out and on the shores here of Lake Mendota. A couple of Earth Day remembrances here, a little history on it, if you will. In the years and months leading to the first Earth Day, In 1962, Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, woke many people to how pesticides like DDT were harming people and nature. Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, were those great things that led up to Earth Day. 1967, they have the Environmental Defense Fund started. In 1968, just a tad before old Toddy was born, the first photos of Earth from space were released by NASA. I mean, now you just take it for granted, right? You see the Webb or the Hubble or all these other telescopes or the space station. But back in 1968, that was the first Earth, first photo of Earth from space. In 1969, the Cuyahoga River at Cleveland caught fire for the 10th time. Of course, November 1969, Governor Gaylord Nelson went to Santa Barbara, California, the site of a massive oil spill, and announced plans for a campus teach-in on environment similar to strategy of the Vietnam War opponents. And in February of 1970, Republican President Richard Nixon called on Congress to act on 37 bills and rules to, quote, rescue our natural habitat. And of course, as TNLs reminded us, it was President Nixon who signed into law the Environmental Protection Agency. 855-752-4842. Let's go to David on the line, talking about planting some trees today. David, happy Earth Day to you. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, no trouble, Tom. Yeah, I've been listening to these climate scientists for the last almost 20 years. The most necessary thing that they claim humans should be doing right now is planting trees. The smartest thing mm-hmm. that humans could do, the most necessary. And when you think about it, you know, Wisconsin's got a lot of water. And when you think about global warming, it's forcing the ice in the world to melt. And the rise of the ocean is going to cause a huge amount of havoc for people living on the coastlines. And trees, being 80, 90% water, they basically are a pile of, you know, cells of water stuck up in the air, and they mm-hmm. capture the water and then stick it up in the air instead of being in water form. And yeah. a big part of not only providing shade and providing oxygen as they breathe and then reducing the CO2, it's also replacing the water. So, yeah, just that sort of chemical aspect of it.
No, it's a great point. I think, you know, planting trees is, you know, I sound a little cliche, but it does a lot, as you just pointed out. I appreciate you giving that insight. And I think you raise a great point, David, right? We don't all have to be Gaylord Nelson. I mean, thank goodness and thank heaven for him, but we don't all have to be Gaylord Nelson. We can each do our part, whether it's planting a tree on our property, if we have it, participating in a cleanup day, or just using less plastic. I think that's just a great reminder, right?
Well, much less that if we think about the economy as being set up so that polluters can make money poisoning the world, but there is no money. There's no money to be made in cleaning it up. And in fact, there's some risk. You know, if you're out there mucking around with some sort of pollution, you're likely to get sick from it. So the yeah. idea that these polluters have tax benefits for creating jobs, or they get, tax write-offs for disposing of pollution, whether it's in a clean way or a crappy way, they're not stopping the pollution. They're actually continuing it, but getting funded for continuing it. So we've got to really deal with the economics of pollution.
David, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate the call. Be happy to have you join us in hour number two with any reflections of Earth Day you might have. Give us a ring-a-ling. Mr. Zomers will answer the phone for you. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. A couple other quick thoughts on this. Back on the first Earth Day, in April 22nd, 1970, marked the beginning of the modern environmental movement. 20 million Americans demonstrated for a healthy environment and participated in those teach-ins started by former Governor Gaylord Nelson, and it led to the creation, as we said, of the Environmental Protection Agency. Earth Days have showed us that pollution hits minorities and the poor far worse. Great factoid there. Raises our consciousness about environmental issues, unites us on shared goals like clean water, air, and energy, and brings people together, as David said, to plant trees and clean up town roads, cities, villages, and the country as well. So if you have a minute today, do your part. Pick something up off the ground. Use a reusable bottle. Less plastic. We could all do something. Make Earth Day every day. Back with more live from Governor Nelson State Park here in Dane County after our break in hour two. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Alball Show and Civic Media. Happy Earth Day, everybody.